Straight Talk on WRHI FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Always tickled when I can get somebody brand new across the Straight Talk table here at Substation 2 who doesn't know nothing about me, knows nothing about this radio program, and yet he has agreed to come on here and find out what it's all about. His name is Sebastian Vendetta. He is the new provost at Winthrop University. He has his tie on. He has his jacket on. He has his Winthrop pin. You are properly coiffed to be here today.
Thanks, Manning. I appreciate that.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me.
So you've been here now how long?
I've been here approximately 2 months.
2 months?
Mm-hmm.
I first ran into him at a basketball game.
Sure did.
As we were cheering the Eagles on. I can't remember whether they won that day or not, but
I don't want to guess.
I guess they lost. Okay. Yeah. They didn't have a great season. So tell everybody a little bit about Sebastian.
Yes, sir. I really appreciate you having me on today to talk a little bit about Winthrop and about me. And so if you can tell through the radio, I have a little bit of an accent. I grew up in the Caribbean, a small Dutch island called Saba, which is close by St. Martin. It's only 5 square miles. 1,200 people live there. I came to America to go to college. I went to UCF, which has 70,000 students in it. It was quite a culture shock, but did really well. I was always a nerd growing up. I love computers. I studied computer science in college, got my doctorate in computer science and artificial intelligence. Met my wife in graduate school, got married, been in America ever since, worked at a few different universities before coming here to Winthrop. I worked at USC Upstate, I worked at a place in Louisiana, and I just moved up from Charleston, where I was the Dean of Science, Math, and Engineering at the College of Charleston, and now been here in the beautiful Rock Hill area at Winthrop for 2 months.
And building a house in Fort Mill.
And just signed a contract to build a little house there in Fort Mill. We're very
excited. God bless you, my son.
Yes, sir.
Well, this is interesting. So how did you get from the Caribbean to the good old U.S. of A.?
Sure. It's kind of a long story.
I'm going into Cliff Notes version. Too much details.
You know, I had a sister living in Orlando, and my dad asked me at one point, would you like to come to America to go to college instead of going to Holland? I was like, heck yeah. So I went to high school for a couple of years in Orlando, and I knew that UCF had one of the best computer science programs in America at that point. And from when I was 13 years old, I had a Commodore 64 computer. All I wanted to do was be in the basement solving math problems, writing computer programs. I did not like talking to people. I was a real recluse. Now, of course, fast forward 30 years later, like, this is what I do for my job. So people change over time.
Interesting. So what is the native tongue on your native island?
On my native island, believe it or not, we speak English in at home. But when I was growing up, the school system was in Dutch. So all of my subjects were in Dutch, math, biology, chemistry, and so on. Even to this day, sometimes when I do math in my head, I need to do it in Dutch because that's where I originally learned it. But it's interesting, even though I'm from such a small island, there's only 4 little towns on that island. Depending on which town you're from, you sound a little bit different. I just met
5 square miles?
5 square miles, and everybody sounds a little bit different. We have a faculty member in our social work department. Her name is Monique, who's from St. Vincent. Different accent. Every island has slightly different accents. It's very interesting.
So one of yours, you're a computer guy, as you said, a computer nerd.
Yes, sir.
So you're really excited about AI.
Of course.
I don't even understand what AI is, except it does everything that you do.
Yes.
So you may not need me anymore.
We can set up all of us probably.
Is this something that you're bringing to Winthrop to, I don't know, incorporate into the curriculum?
You know, we already have a very robust portfolio of computing programs at Winthrop, including a bachelor's in cybersecurity, one of the few universities in South Carolina that have that. We are going to introduce an AI degree within 2 years, so that's on our list of degree programs we're pursuing. More broadly, we're trying to embrace as a campus community what generative AI means, like all universities are doing. And it's very interesting because when George McCarthy coined the term AI in 1956 at this famous conference, conference, right after that, people assumed Terminators would be walking around on the streets already. And then we went through something called the AI winter. And then in the 80s, there was a lot of renewed interest in AI and a lot of buzz around it. And then we went through the AI winter again. So right now, we're experiencing another high in buzz with AI, where the computing power has kind of caught up with all these algorithms on the back end. And so it'll be interesting to see if this is truly a revolution or if it will experience another AI winter after this, meaning the buzz will die down. In my opinion, AI nowadays is more augmented intelligence, not artificial intelligence, because still to today, with chat GPTs and different tools, you still have to ask it the question for it to give you the answer. As soon as it starts asking itself its own questions,
oh my God,
then is when we got to start to worry.
Oh my God. So, just to show you how ignorant I am about AI, is AI, are they special computer programs that were put together to answer the questions that we're giving them? Or is it, an adaptation of what's already out there?
Yeah, so AI, you know, from the 50s has evolved in several subfields. Computer vision is its own separate subfield. Machine learning is its own separate subfield. And so from a machine learning point of view, if you put the question out there, these algorithms learn from every question, every database, or many databases and sources out there in the world to kind of formulate that answer. So it's kind of learning from the questions that you're asking it. True artificial intelligence algorithms are these symbolic processing algorithms that are trying to find, look in the future at every possible combination of what could be asked or every possible move that could be made, and then to try to triangulate the most optimal pathway forward and try, you know, when...
I'm lost, all right. Yes,
me too. I just made all that up.
Yeah, that
so
sounded good.
Pretty good, right?
You can buffalo me, no problem. But you're the provost at Winthrop University.
Yes, sir.
And this generation that you're teaching knows all about AI.
Sure.
And, of course, one of the buzzes in the news media is how is AI going to impact education as a whole?
Yes.
From a negative standpoint. In other words, you need a term paper? Heck, I got to write the term paper. Forget the research. I'll just tell AI to do it.
Yeah. And you know, throughout history, as there's been leaps forward in technology, it does change the focus on what we educate the students on. When we transition from typewriter to computer, well, then folks could spend a lot less time typing up their papers and dissertations, and then that became, you know, kind of a simple process. Calculators, before we had calculators, after we had calculators. In the computer science world, before you had debuggers versus after you had debuggers. So the shift changes on what we're teaching the kids in college. And the assessments really need to change. So not so much that the student has to turn in a term paper anymore, because we can't tell who wrote it, is how do we assess them that they can write that term paper?
Right.
So that can happen with oral interviews,
yep,
and interactive things with the faculty. So you do have to constantly evolve with the change in technology.
Yeah, so you hand a paper in. Now let's see if you really know what you wrote, what you handed in. Sit down, let's have a Q&A session. Explain this to me. Explain that to me.
We had, you know, a big problem with math placement at universities, where most universities use a math placement entrance test to determine if the student needs to take calculus or algebra or whatever when they go to college. Well, these online programs, which were wonderful, are becoming obsolete, because now the student can just take a picture of the math problem on the screen and the app just gives you an answer. So you have to evolve with the technology.
All right. The big question is, what the heck does a provost do?
What the heck does a provost do? So I'm still trying to figure that out for myself, Manning. I've been a provost for 2 months now, and I was a dean before that. But, you know, all joking aside, the provost is the chief academic officer for a university. So, and the person who helps support all of the academics at a university. So the president is responsible for the entire university. That includes athletics, residence life, all the other auxiliary services that come along with a university. Now, of course, a big part of the university is the academics.
Sure.
And so the provost is responsible for stewarding, providing leadership and support for all the faculty and staff under that big academic affairs umbrella.
My God, that means you're responsible for all the professors over there?
Correct. I'm responsible for supporting them and helping to get the resources to make their lives easier, to make them more efficient in the classroom. And so the work involves lots of different things. One thing is more the internal machinery of the university, making sure we have good policies and protocols and processes to be as efficient as possible. The other aspect of it is innovation, so developing new programs, concentrations, courses in order to be responsive to industry needs and community needs. And then there's many other hats you wear, but those are some of the things you get to work on that are very interesting.
I know from interviewing Dr. Cerna right here a couple of times that his arrival has really changed a lot of things in Winthrop. One of them is the curriculum. He's in the midst of, I think he hired some outside consultants that came in and looked at what you were doing. But there's a wholesale change of curriculum underway now, all designed to get people to graduate from Winthrop and go right into a profession. Is that right or wrong?
Well, yes, that's partially right. That's just one of the things that we're doing. First of all, one of the things that I've discovered in my 2 months here at Winthrop is how much I love working with the president, how much I love working with the cabinet. We have a very talented group of folks in the cabinet who are helping to support and lead the university. The president, absolutely, I'm his biggest fan. Love working with him. Love working with Joseph Miller, our vice president for admissions. Love working with Kevin Hughes, our vice president for advancement, and the whole team. So one of the big initiatives we're doing is what's called launching forward and what's called content-based education. So this is essentially online learning brought to its ultimate plateau, where primarily adult learners can kind of learn on their own pace to develop these competencies to help them supplement what they're doing at work, augment what they're learning at work, get the degree program, a degree under their belt, and help them have this career advancement. So it's highly industry and workforce focused, and the primary target are those working adults. So we have a whole huge initiative, and we're going to be a leader in South Carolina on that front. Then in parallel, we're about to launch a new initiative to help us recruit and attract some of more of the brightest students in South Carolina's who are going to come to Winthrop and be leaders in our community, leaders in South Carolina, and leaders across the nation. So next week, if you have me back on next week, I can talk to you more about what that initiative is going to look like. I'm super excited about it. We have a lot of community leaders buying into that initiative. The campus has bought into it, and we're about to make a big announcement on this direction that will target more of those traditional high school students to make Winthrop their number one choice in South Carolina when they go to college. So we're hitting it on a couple different fronts, and at the same time, we have a roadmap of all the degree innovation and the more traditional degree programs that we're continuing to work on over the next 5 years.
But part of this process must include going through the existing curriculum.
Correct.
And saying, does it make sense anymore?
Yes.
To teach Beowulf?
Yes.
I mean, really?
Yes.
Which I had to take 100 years ago.
Yes.
But I mean, things like that are not germane, are they, to today's world?
Well, you know, it's interesting because you absolutely want to offer programming and coursework that is workforce ready. Teaching the kid how to get the job with one of our area partner companies or agencies to make sure they're workforce ready, job ready on day one when they walk out the back door. That's very important, and universities must be doing a good job of that to make sure our kids are career ready when they walk out the door and can immediately get that first job. But to prepare them for a career, to be a good citizen of society, to be a lifelong learner, to understand when they get that job at Cummins here down the street and they're making widgets, it's not just about making the widgets. It's about understanding the global societal and ethical impact of those widgets that they're making. That involves more than just teaching them those kind of hands-on career-ready skills, which are important. It involves a more broader-based education, which we do during our general curriculum. And so those things can include coursework in the humanities and creative thinking and writing and cultural events and what makes somebody a more broad-based individual and preparing them to be a leader in society. One of the things I've embraced right away when coming to Winthrop is our cultural event requirements. We require every Winthrop student to attend at least 18 cultural events before they graduate, and we do all kinds of very interesting programs. Just last night I attended Ikebana, I'm probably mispronouncing that, Ikebana program by a master from Charleston who is a Japanese culture on flower decorations, and there's a whole long story about it. Dance performances, political events, you name it, we offer this broad-based arrangement of cultural events, and all of this makes up the college graduate, again, not just for that first job, of course that's very important, but to prepare them to one day be the CEO of the company.
It's interesting. So it sounds like a lot of what you are working on is not so much textbook related as it is bringing industry into the university, doing stuff online so that you're more current than a textbook might be.
Correct. There's a time and place for everything in the curriculum. Certain courses, certain topics are fundamental to the field and are best taught by a professor out of the textbook.
Right.
Then again, once especially get to the capstone type period in the curriculum, having industry engaged in those curriculum is so very important. We have several curriculum already where the students are required to do a project for industry as part of their curriculum before they graduate. So it's a great way to bring industry in the classroom, and it's a great opportunity for them to recruit the next generation of students. Now, of course, in fields like education, that practical in-person classroom experience is already baked into the equation. But we're really trying to have every one of our programs have that capstone experiential learning experience for the students that integrate the companies in the classroom before they graduate.
Interesting. Now, is this the fact that you're doing this at Winthrop, is it a result of competition from other schools? Is it a result of we just realized that we're going down the wrong track for too long a period of time? I mean,
you know, I think it's just, I don't know if it's related to competitions with different schools in general, or it's really just doing what's responsive to industry needs and societal needs. And I don't think Winthrop has been going down the wrong track at all over these last several years. I think there has been a lot of turnover in some key positions, like the president position, like the provost position. And hopefully now we have a nice stable solution for the next several years, because it is remarkable to me how many areas of excellence we have at Winthrop, and every day I learn something new that's truly remarkable. For example, I learned that our psychology students win more Sci-Chi Awards, that's the International Honor Society by psychology students. We have won more national awards in the last 10 years than any university in America.
Huh.
In America. I learned that in South Carolina, we have the largest graduate social work program, the MSW program, in South Carolina, period. And our students pass the final exam to get their license at a higher rate than any university in South Carolina. So every day I learn something new that I feel disappointed. I'm learning this for the first time, and we need to do a better job telling our story and highlighting all these amazing accomplishments and initiatives we have going on. One thing that's for sure, our faculty and students, they're legit. And so we just need to get the word out more about the good things here happening at Winthrop.
Okay, we're going to have to take our mid-program break as we continue our broadcast here from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at andersongriggs.com. And our thanks to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. And you can find out more about them online at piedmontmedicalcenter.com. All right. We do fresh subs and salads here at Substation 2. We do it 6 days a week between 10 a.m. and 9 p.m. There is a way that we do it that most people know, but newbies like Sebastian over here may not. But we're going to include you in the thrill. It's done with these magic letters here, and we're going to recite them at the count of three. Are you ready? One, two, three.
Slice, garden.
Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
A good deal for a delicious sandwich.
Quality of the food. I get what I want. It tastes great every time.
Hit the spot, definitely. It's amazing.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Dr. Carrie Watson, the trauma medical director at Piedmont Medical Center, says she's very proud of what's being accomplished at Piedmont.
We are able to do robotic surgery. We are a robotic center of excellence, and that's robotic surgery for general surgery like gallbladders, hernias, colon. We also have robotic urology, so that's things like kidney removals and things with your bladder. We also have robotic neurosurgery that we're doing, and that's pretty amazing. Not a lot of places have that.
Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
Have you been personally managing your investment account? Are you happy with your results? Maybe you should consider hiring a genuine money manager. If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see how they can help you. Anderson Griggs, 324-5044, or online at andersongriggs.com.
Last year was a big year for Founders Federal Credit Union and our amazing members. A total of $30 million was given back to qualifying members in the form of loyalty bonus dividends, proving once again that it pays to be a Founders member. Founders is also committed to pouring time and resources into the local communities we serve. If you aren't a member yet, what are you waiting for? Join Founders today. Visit FoundersFCU.com. Federally insured by NCUA. Membership qualification required.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Spring is here, and so is the annual Come See Me Festival. This is Charlie Ruffalo. Remember, whatever your Come See Me plans, Substation 2 subs are perfect for picnic lunches at Glencairn and tailgating at the Winthrop Farm. Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Order online at mysubstationii.com.
Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, with the brand spanking new provost at Winthrop University. His name is Sebastian Vendelli. Sebastian, I love the name Sebastian. I mean, you don't hear that too often. That's a good name. Tell your mom, good job. So you've only been here 2 months. And I'm sure you're still drinking out of a fire hose. Sure. I mean, it'll take you at least a year, I would think, maybe two, to get your hands around this big octopus. So I want to ask you one question two different ways. What's the most exciting thing that you have found since you've been here that you had no idea that was here? And then I want to see, conversely, what is the thing that, I don't know, kind of disappoints you that you want to tackle first, that you now recognize? Take them either order you want.
Sure. I think, you know, you're right. It's like drinking from a fire hose, but there's only Kool-Aid coming out of the fire hose. So it's all good stuff. I've definitely drank the Kool-Aid. This is a very special place. And like I said maybe earlier, that every day I learn something new and something very special about Winthrop. Some of the things that excite me the most, nothing specific. There's one big exciting initiative that I can't mention quite yet, but
he keeps teasing
this.
He teases it.
But, you know, in terms of the potential for Winthrop to have that high impact on the community and the region, it's it's something I get very excited about. When I interviewed here in November and I drove up to Rock Hill, it had been a minute since I was in Rock Hill, but just driving through Rock Hill and seeing all the economic development and learning about the storyline and seeing the Fountain Park and seeing that our campus, we're about to cut a new entrance on that tip of campus that will connect us to the storyline all the way to Fountain Park. You could see there's a lot of potential and a lot of positive momentum about to pick up, not only on Winthrop campus, but right next door in downtown Rock Hill. With experiential learning being so important for today's university experience, having access to industries right here and walking distance is remarkable. One of the things I learned the most, a couple of surprising things, I honestly did not get to see our West Center or our DiGiorgio Center during the interview process. And I was kind of blown away that for a university of our size, that we had facilities that you would normally see at 50,000 student universities. So that was a really amazing surprise. The other thing I've learned a lot about is that's positively surprising is our esports team.
Oh, gosh.
National championship, League of Legends, the only college team ever to now qualify and compete in the Valorant tournament, which we're doing right now. And I don't know a lot about that industry, but it's remarkable. We're not a leader in South Carolina. We're a leader in America and internationally when it comes to esports. So that's been a huge surprise for me and very interesting to learn more about that. In terms of challenges, I don't know if we have any particular challenge that any other university doesn't have. We have, you know, deferred maintenance in our buildings. We have hiring that needs to be done to fully staff back up our faculty and students, our faculty and staff ranks, and lots of little things, but nothing surprising whatsoever. All good work to be done for sure, but no bad surprises at all.
You know, when you talk about the challenges, deferred maintenance, all of a sudden there's a whole bunch of stuff going on in Winthrop. I mean, Burns Auditorium, which has been sitting closed for, I think, 4 years.
Yeah.
Old Doc Cerna said, we will have that thing open by next fall.
So it's funny you should say that. Burns has been closed for 6 years.
6 years.
And it's a bizarre story on why it's been closed for that long, you know, and I won't get into it. But, yeah, finally this fall it opens back up. 6 years. One of the gems on campus, our music program, our students and professors and prospective students and professors haven't been able to go into that showcase space for 6 years. Our beautiful pool in the West Center has been closed for 2 years due to a bizarre random incident, which is now resolved, and we're almost ready to open that up. And I go on and on. So I think we've had a string of bad luck when it comes to facilities as well, and we're almost back to full speed.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they built that brand new Owens Hall, and a year after it opened, they had a big major fire there. And yes, they dealt with it. Yeah, it's been one thing after another. But I will tell you this. It's very noticeable. If you walk through campus, you'll see construction, you know, what do they call it? The scaffolding everywhere. I mean, there's a lot of stuff being done. And then, of course, right down here, those two great big high-rises are coming down sometime this summer, I believe.
Yes, sir.
And that's going to create the possibility for a whole new entranceway, roadway, whatever, into the college, university.
Yes, there's a master plan for campus that's kind of constantly evolving. We're going to line it up better for the forthcoming strategic plan, which is about to be fully codified. But certainly when it comes to facilities, well, 5 years from now, campus is being transformed in a very positive way, for sure.
And as I mentioned to you at the beginning, I'm the first one to admit it. When somebody first said, you know, they think taking down that fencing and those brick posts there on Oakland Avenue are going to make things different. I said, nah, that never happened. Boy, was I wrong. I mean, you really feel like you're riding through that campus with that fencing down. No question about it.
100%. Just the optics of it makes you more well-received. Who would have thought a little thing like that would make such a difference, but it sure does.
And saved a whole bunch of money.
And it saved money, so that's good too. Yeah.
So what's on your to-do list for the next 30 days?
Next 30 days, this big new initiative that I guess I'm teasing again.
There's the third time.
We got to kind of bring that to conclusion. We're moving forward as quickly as we can. And then other than that, you know, my job is also about policy, internal machinery stuff. There's several policies I'm working on to help the university run a little better. Academic side, we have several of those being considered by our faculty conference. So it's kind of this kind of boring back end sausage making stuff. So lots of that going on, and then we have a few new programs that we're trying to push through the approval process. Actually, today we have a new criminal justice program which will focus on corporate and cyber crimes in Columbia, South Carolina, at the CHE being considered for approval. We have a new web development program today being considered, and a few other things, and then. Some of the next things we're working on, that AI degree, a supply chain logistics degree, which is the one next ones we're moving on, so things like that.
Well, and I'm sure you're very excited by the news of the incoming class, which will be arriving here in fall.
Yes.
From what I understand, it's considerably larger.
Yes, we are very excited. Applications are way up. Admissions are way up. Deposits are up. This year is a little bit tricky for all universities because of the FAFSA. The new FAFSA system has kind of delayed a lot of admissions processes. So we're still seeing how that rolls out. And then I think today or tomorrow there's going to be a big public announcement about our tuition transparency initiative.
Oh yeah.
And that's huge for us in terms of projecting propelling the university forward.
So. Yeah, I mean, they've already announced they're going to be lowering the tuition, but I think that's pretty interesting.
Okay, good. I wasn't sure if that was out there. I didn't want
that's
to
out.
Okay,
that's
good,
out.
Good.
You'd be the second person to know. All right, Sebastian, you've done well on your first show. Hope you'll come back and do it again.
Absolutely, man. I really appreciate you
having
me.
All right, Sebastian Dundello, our guest. Pardon me, just stabbed myself with my pen. Our guest today on our Straight Talk program, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders. And by Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online by going on to AndersonGriggs.com. All right, one more time. We do fresh subs and salads 7 days a week, 6 days a week, pardon me here, at Substation 2. The way we do it is in the white letters. And at the count of three, I think just you and I are going to belt it out. They're too busy ordering. Ready? One, two, three.
Slice. Garden.
Have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. But don't forget, Cherry Park, the great Easter Classic. First run is in 30 minutes. Get your kids on out there. Bye.